Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Central Church of God, located at 5120 Central Avenue, Portage, Indiana. Here, you can listen to Sunday service by Pastor Robert Sluter. If you have questions, prayer requests, or want more information about our church, please feel free to contact Pastor Robert at 219-963-8496.
Today, we have some children in our presence. It's usually in the back. I have an idea what happened. We'll talk about that later. But God has a plan, amen? And our children need to see what worship is. They need to know what the fire of God is. So we're glad that you're here. You're singing it. Sing it for the kids now.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be.
There's some of you that work overtime, and it's by choice. You may be watching this later on, but the Lord's going to move on you to go ahead and give up some of those hours so you can be in the presence of the Lord. And I believe that there's miracles that follow when you have that dedication. Amen?
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, can't control. I want more.
How wants that fresh anointing this morning?
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Here in your love.
Just our voices now.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Here in your love. Here
one more time, just like that.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Here in your love, here in your love.
Just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, praise team, for leading us in worship this morning. God is so good. The message this morning is just renewing our waiting for a fresh anointing. That's what we've been doing this morning, just been waiting on the Lord. Amen. We're going to continue to wait in His presence today. We just honor you, Lord. We wait on you, Jesus. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Let's pray a prayer over our children's church as they're walking out this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, and nothing's by accident, God. We thank you that they were able to join us with worship. I know they do worship in the back, but today was a special day for them. I was watching them. They were singing, Set a Fire. Lord, let the fire begin to roar in this place, starting from the young to the old. Let it go back from the old to the young. Just let it be reciprocal, rolling and rolling and rolling, the fire, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this place. And we give you glory, honor. Amen. Amen. Let's grab our Bibles. Let's say the declaration of the word this morning. I believe this is the word of God. I believe it's fully the word of God in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm ready to receive from God's word today. I'm alert, I'm listening, and I'm hungry. Lord, open my ears to hear and my heart to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wish you could see sometimes the things that I see. Sometimes I'm glad you don't see some of the things I see, but I'm glad. But sometimes you want to see, and I'm watching, and some of you are closing your eyes, and you're saying this as a prayer, Lord, open my ears, open my heart, and I can see that, and I know it's real, and God is going to do that today. He's going to move on us. Amen? Well, if you have an outline, last week you're like, we got away pretty good. Last week we had one bullet point. You're like, that was pretty easy to fill in. So this week, I just made it a little bit harder. I doubled them. You've got 2 points today, but I believe the Lord wants to keep our attention on these things. We won't stay long in the first one, but I believe that as we wait on Him, this is a word that was stirring within me this week of just waiting. We've been talking about His presence. We've been in this beginning of the year, this renewing, and just staying in that theme of renewing. You're like, how many more messages can you preach on renewing? I don't know. As many as the Lord keeps giving me, okay? And the anointing, we can't get away from His anointing, so I'm just following Him today. Renewing our waiting for a fresh anointing. So I want to go to the book of Acts. We're going to look at the first 8 verses. We've been in Acts before. You've seen these many times before. But I want to submit to you these afresh today. And I want you to think about this. The early church, they had an account of the anointed one, Jesus, right? So as we open up this book of Acts, Luke is writing here. He says this, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, Luke is referring to his first letter to Theophilus. He wrote an account to him, and we call that the Gospel of Luke. So he's writing up a follow-up letter, or a continuation, whatever you want to look at it. He says, this is what I wrote to you before up to his death, but now I want to continue the story of what happened after his death. And so Luke is referring to that gospel. He says, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit had given him commandments to the apostle who have chosen. He goes, now I'm going to pick up from the day that he was taken up. You heard about the story before. I wrote about his life. I wrote about his death. I wrote about his resurrection. I wrote about his ascension. But the story doesn't end there. How many is glad that the story doesn't end there for the church? This is an early account of the anointed one. He says, to whom he also presented himself alive. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves for Easter. No, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday all the time, okay? But I'm looking forward to those who are going to come in, and I'm going to pray. Go ahead and begin praying for me for the message to share. You're going to get excited because you already believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm praying that someone's heart will be touched who hasn't given their life to them or who needs to rededicate their life to Jesus. He says they also present himself alive after his suffering by infallible proofs, by many infallible proofs. Let's don't leave out that word many. There wasn't just one proof. There's many. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things. Jesus, after his resurrection, was seen by many. And we'll look at another account later about how many he was seen by. But we saw this, and this is proof that he rose again from the dead, pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, I want to read to you just a little bit of commentary from an author. His name is Dr. James O. Davis, and he wrote a book called Unhindered, and it's just basically a commentary on the book of Acts, and it's very easy reading, but it's a very thick book. But I want you to hear just the power of the story of Acts from his viewpoint in this introduction that he gives. Listen, the New Testament church knew that their success in soul winning depends on the coming and consuming power of the Spirit. In fact, their service, soul winning, and sermons were done through the Spirit. When Pentecost came, the early church had something swords could not silence. Water could not drown. Storms could not stop. Fire could not burn, and demons could not defeat, and jail could not hold. It was the convicting and convincing power of the Holy Spirit that came, that overcame the imperial might of Rome, the sagacious sissification of the Greeks, and the religious bigotry of the Jews. The Holy Spirit crossed all cultures, broke barriers, and overcame all obstacles. Here's his last line. Pentecostal revival can come today if Christians will implement several biblical characteristics in their lives. How many is ready to live out the Word of God? That's what we say, let's do the Bible. Let's make it real for us. That's just an intro to his book, Power There. Water couldn't drown what Jesus did in empowering them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Fire couldn't burn. Jails couldn't keep them in. How many knows that we serve the same God, amen, that sets us free, that loosens our tongues, that allows us to be bold witnesses for Him? But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Empower us. I need a fresh anointing. Go ahead and declare if you need it. I need a fresh anointing. I got a chance to minister to people this week. That's why I need a fresh anointing. I need to be revived today because I don't know what this week's going to look like. I don't know who I'm going to run into. I don't know who needs to hear a word from the Lord and who needs a touch from God, who needs to be set free, who needs salvation, who needs a healing. So I need a refreshing. So I come waiting for you today, oh Lord. I come waiting on you. Fill me, use me. I desire a fire. Because when our eyes are on Jesus, then the things that we go through don't seem as big. Some of you had a rough week last week, but I believe God's going to have a better week for you this week. But if it gets worse than it was last week, hold on, because there's a breakthrough coming in and the enemy wants to distract you, but you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You keep finding places to wait on Him for a refreshing and renewing, and He'll bring you through every time. So here's your second point. The early church waited for a fresh anointing. I know we talked about it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we look in this context, but there's a fresh anointing on their life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Anybody say on the same page with me of that? Anybody agree that was a fresh anointing from heaven for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to touch them? They had a new anointing in them to proclaim with boldness to walk out into the streets and begin to magnify God in front of all those. And because of their boldness, because of their fresh anointing, because of their witness, over 3,000 were saved that day. So let's just focus on the first part of this chapter. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Everybody say, wait. Wait. But wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from me. He's already been talking about this promise. There's so many passages and scriptures I could bring up. But He did say that it's important that I go away. It's expedient that I go away so the Comforter can come. And so He already laid the foundation, the groundwork that I'm going to ascend to heaven, that I'm going to send you another Comforter. And now He gives them this command, I want you to wait. And they're like, what are you talking about? I want you to wait for the promise of the Father and learn to wait on Him. Verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I think words matter. I know that when we look at the scriptures, it's important for us to look at the words. And I know we lose some things in translation because some words in original language can have several words that we use the same words to interpret or to translate it as. This is one of those. But this particular word for wait that was in verse 4 is only used one time in this passage here in the New Testament. And this is what it means. It means to stay around, await, or wait for. I believe when the verbal inspiration of the Bible means that God inspired the writer to write and pick certain words to make a certain impact. Now, this word is a compound word. The second part of it is meno, and that word by itself just means tarry. It's used a lot. It means wait. It's also translated tarry. That's something that you've heard on, but tarry in the presence of the Lord, that means wait. But something special about this, it means to stay around. Stay around. Hold on. Wait. It's going to be worth the wait. Can I submit this to you that waiting is hard? Waiting is hard. We want everything in our own time frame. Next slide. We want everything in our own time frame. You guys are very quiet on that, but go ahead and say amen if you believe it. Amen. That's the biggest amen I got so far today. But it's true, right? We waiting is hard. Waiting on anything is hard, but even waiting on the Lord, although we can get caught up in the worship and we want to, but we're still fighting flesh and spirit, right? We want to wait, but we're like, Lord, how long do I have to wait? And look at the account. He's telling them to go and wait. Go and wait. And you've heard me preach this before, but this is in a different form. I believe that God wanted us to hear this morning. But, you know, they waited in the upper room for 10 days. Now, what that looked like, I don't know. We weren't there. Was it, did they go in and out? They were there for 10 days. Did they bring about 10 packs of water? I don't know what they did. I just know that it took 10 days of them waiting on the Lord for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to take place. But they kept the commandment that Jesus said, wait. Stay here. Stay here. Wait. Waiting to be refreshed. It's not a pit stop. It's a process. Say it with me. Waiting to be refreshed. It's not a pit stop. It's a process. How many wants to see a picture of that? Look at this. It's not a pit stop. I mean, NASCAR, I mean, they work so hard to see how fast they can get them in and get them out. Right? I mean, they change the tire so fast. They fill up the tank so fast. I know you wish this Linus Sam's Club was like that to get your gasoline, like, zoom out, right? Change your tires. They need a NASCAR oil change shop where everybody just in it. They service 100 cars in 1 hour, right? Because we want everything right now. But if your car needs a tune-up, it's really having some issues. They can't just zip it in and zip it out. It needs to be under the light. It needs to go through the process. Every part needs to be looked at. And that's what I want to go through. I want, Lord, examine my heart. I can't just zip in here, get just a dab of oil on my head and zip out as a pit stop. Is this okay this morning? Isn't waiting worth it? Because God has a purpose for us to go through the process. And as we talked about the wineskin and the new wine and the process that it went through, there's a purpose for us, but there's a process. And we're going to keep going through the process. I can tell you these cars that go through the pit stop. Oh, there may be some times in your life that, hey, I've got to get in. I've got to get in quick. God, I want your presence. And he's able to touch us in a moment. But I can tell you those cars don't function week after week on tour just because they go through pit stops. After the pit stop, they're in the garage, taken all apart and put back together so they can run the race again. How many's running the race with endurance? Keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. This is pretty good, and I don't even watch NASCAR. Thank you, Jesus. I did send it to a friend of mine that watched NASCAR, and he was like, that's pretty good. Lord, I want to wait on you. I trust you, Lord. The early church, they needed the reason to wait for a fresh anointing. This is your second point. I probably jumped ahead earlier. This is your second point. The reason to wait for a fresh anointing. Acts 1:6 says this. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which your Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So I'm giving you a reason to wait. He says, go and wait for the promise. And they just followed up with the question. Does this mean you're restoring? Is this a time? Let me give you a reason to wait. Because I have a purpose for you to go through this process. I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit so you can go out and be my witnesses. That you will teach them everything that I've commanded. That you'll baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll make disciples of them. And I want you to wait because I'm going to empower you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to go with you to the ends of the earth. But we have to have a reason to wait. Can I give you a reason to wait right now in the presence of the Lord? Because there are sons and daughters that are out there that need to have a fresh touch of Jesus Christ, the ones who have slipped away, and they need us to wait on the Lord to be empowered so we'll say the right thing at the right time. We'll pray the right prayer at the right moment. That we'll have the right encounter with them. How many knows that God orders our steps? Amen? And he can put on our heart when to get with them and when to back off and when to press in, because God is working on them and the enemy is fighting. And so, Lord, we're in this. We want to wait for you, but we're going to share the love. We're going to share the truth in love, but we need to do it more than just with love. We need to do it with an anointing, and the anointing comes by waiting. You can love your son and daughter. You can love your grandkids. You can love a spouse, a family member. You can still love them, but not have an anointing. You need the anointing to minister to them. You need the anointing to hear from God what to say. Everybody said, I need an anointing. I need a fresh anointing for this hour. For this day, it doesn't matter how many lives you've touched in the past, and I'm saying you, because this is this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just for those who were called to preach the gospel. Every one of us are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Every one of us need an anointing in our lives. You're like, these messages, Pastor, they're not helping me with my day-in-day struggles and things that I need. He's here to help you. But he wants you to trust him with everything. And the first thing that he said, that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can cast all your cares on him. But this journey with him goes greater than that. Because he has a calling for us to reach the lost. Men, we have a Good Friday dinner. $10. I would encourage you to find someone to bring. Pay for their meal. Bring a friend. Bring a family member. This is an opportunity for them to hear the truth about Jesus Christ. We have a reason to wait for a fresh anointing. Go ahead and say it with me. We have a reason to wait for a fresh anointing. Does that mean that God's not doing anything right now? Back up just a minute. Back up one slide. Don't get ahead of me there. We have a reason to wait. We have a reason. I want to encourage you. Every time we come together, God deserves the praise. God deserves the glory. And we have a reason to wait for his anointing, because he wants to pour out his Spirit on us to be fresh for today, to be fresh for today, to be fresh for tomorrow, to be ready for tomorrow. We have a reason to wait. You're saved. You're safe. So this fresh anointing is not about keeping me saved. It's not about keeping you saved. We have to look at it the right way. I'm following him. I don't need the anointing to follow him. I've already made a dedication to follow him. The anointing is that we can pour out to touch other lives to fulfill the Great Commission. And that's the message the church needs to hear. I know there's times we'll focus on relationships and marriages and all these different things, but the most important message a church needs to hear is that there's a dying world that is out there and that they need a Savior. His name is Jesus, that he was buried, that he was crucified, but he rose from the grave, and there's victory in his name. There's power in his name. But we can't use his name if we don't have an anointing. We can say his name, but the power comes in using his name when the anointing is flowing through us, and that's not of ourselves. And that doesn't come through a pit stop. It comes through the process of us surrendering and waiting and not getting in a hurry. So let's do the Bible. Ready? This week, read Acts 1 through 8, Acts chapter 1, 1 through 8. You can read 1 through 8 if you want to, but go ahead and focus in chapter 1. Then read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 11. I want you to pray this. Lord, I have a reason to wait on you for a fresh anointing. You desire to refresh me, my family, and my church with an outpouring anointing to reach the lost. I surrender to the process. I want to encourage you to be back tonight, this powerful study in Gideon. It's going to make sense. It's going to connect. It wasn't planned out this way for us, but it was God's plan. And some of this is connecting. Do you remember this picture about vision? We met here on a Sunday night, and we were talking about our vision, our mission statement. Let me refresh this for you. Vision is grace. Go ahead and say it. Our vision is grace. And we broke that down saying our vision is to see every believer growing in the knowledge of God, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit and the tools for ministry, answering the call to ministry, committing to the world harvest, which is missions, and evangelizing to the lost and hurting. We talk about our mission statement all the time, which is connecting people to God and to the family of God to be known, noticed, and loved. But this goes right with it. This is our vision statement for every believer in this church to go through this process, this ongoing process of grace, which is growing, receiving, answering, committing, and evangelizing. But I want to give you this. Growing takes waiting. Receiving takes waiting. Answering takes waiting. Committing to the world, it takes waiting. It doesn't mean that we're just always waiting, we're never doing, but it's waiting on the Lord to tell us how to do, when to do, and what to do, but we're waiting, and evangelizing takes waiting. Waiting. Trusting Him. Waiting can cause people to leave. Don't expect everyone to wait. Now, I'm not saying that in a mean way. Please don't look at it that way. Everybody has some reason, but everybody doesn't wait. Is that fair to say? Yes. I've been there. I'm guilty of that. I've walked into a restaurant before, and they're like, it's going to be a 45-minute wait. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm going to go through McDonald's drive-thru. Because I can choose to wait. Not everybody's going to wait. Now, I'm not coming down on anybody. I'm just telling you the reality of things. Not everybody's going to wait. Don't expect everyone to wait. So let me give you a passage that reflects this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul's writing this. He says, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospels which I preach to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that the word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. We stand on this gospel, right? So you know about this gospel. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren. Go ahead and say 500 at once. He showed up. In those 40 days, he was seen by many. At one time, he was seen by over 500 that could confirm that is Jesus Christ. The one that I saw hanging on the cross, the one that was buried in a grave, he's walking again. He's alive. You can't convince me that he wasn't dead. I saw him get beat. I saw the stripes on his back. I saw them hanging there on the cross. I saw them take them down. I saw them put him in the grave. But I heard the testimony that something happened, and I showed up where he's at now, and he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He conquered death in the grave. He's alive. They were seen by 500 once, of whom the greater part, because Paul's writing this many years later, some remain to be present, but some have fallen asleep. Some have already passed away who saw him, but they saw him. Again, so let me submit this. He was seen by over 500 after his resurrection, but only 120 were in the upper room. And you've heard me preach this again. It's not because I don't have any other messages. It's just what the Lord keeps bringing back right now. I believe that invitation to go wait was for more than just 120. I believe, this is just my personal take on it, I believe more than 120 showed up at the beginning. But the longer they waited, they started slipping out, because waiting is hard. And I'm not going to unpack Acts chapter 2 today, but I want you to see the picture. Waiting is hard, but it's worth it. Someone go ahead and say, it's not on a screen, it's not going to be out there. Just say, waiting is hard, but it's worth it. Waiting is hard, but it's worth it. Verse 7. After that, he was seen by James and by the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me. This is Paul declaring that I had a vision of the Lord. And by one born out of the due time. I want to let you know this. I haven't seen Jesus physically, but I've seen him in his word, and his word is alive. I know that he's alive. I know that he changed my life. I know that he touched my heart. Paul says, for I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, you are who you are. By the grace of God, I am who I am. I'm not worthy to preach his gospel. I'm not worthy of his grace. I'm not worthy of his mercy. But because he is so, so good, he washed away my sins. He cleansed me of unrighteousness. He made me righteous. He gave me a calling, and he gave me an opportunity to preach the word. And he's given you an opportunity every day. There's a place that you're going to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. He said, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me. Therefore, whether as was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. He's saying it doesn't matter who gives the message. If their heart's right with the Lord, if his heart's right, if your heart's with the Lord, it doesn't matter who's preaching the message. People are getting saved. I think some of the greatest testimonies when the body of Christ comes in or get a text. I just led a friend to the Lord. I just led a family member to the Lord. I just led my neighbor to the Lord. We love receiving those messages. I mean, it didn't happen on Sunday morning at the church. No, this happened during the week. That's the testimony. That's the church living out the calling. So his last thought as our praise team is coming back. We need to renew our waiting for a fresh anointing. Last screen, if you will. Last slide up there. We need to renew our waiting for a fresh anointing. To preach the good news of Jesus with our lives. Say this last line. We need a Holy Spirit anointing. We need a Holy Spirit anointing. As you stand to your feet, I want us to press back in. I want to wait on the Lord for a little bit longer this morning. Is that okay? The altar call is simple. You're welcome to come stand, kneel, sit. But I encourage you to seek the presence of the Lord. Wait on Him. You may have a physical need. You may have an urgent need right now, but I want to submit to you, in the presence of the Lord, He is able to touch you. And in the presence of the Lord, He's able to lead someone your way to touch and minister to you. But it's in His presence, and it happens when we wait on Him. So, Lord, we want to wait on You this morning. Will You begin to respond? Will You begin to come?
We wait for You. We wait for You. We wait for You. To walk in the room. We wait for You.
That again.
We wait for You. We wait for You. We wait for You. Walk in the room.
More time.
We wait for You. We wait for You. We wait for You. To walk in the room.
Worship Him now. We're waiting on You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Here we are, standing in Your presence. Here we are, standing in Your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are, standing in Your presence. Here we are, standing in Your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are, standing in Your presence. Here we are, standing in Your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are, standing in Your presence.